Take your Bibles, Proverbs chapter number 3, Proverbs in chapter number 3, and thank you again so much for being here this morning and a part of this service. And to our guests, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come and to visit with us, and many that are coming from our VBS parenting classes and joining us at that occasion and then being with us here today. We're so grateful that you've come, and we want to be a blessing and encouragement to you in any way that we possibly can. I am excited to have our pastor home next Sunday. We certainly have missed him. And I've been praying for him, and I encourage you to continue praying for him, and then be here next Sunday and be ready to receive a blessing, because I know he desires to come and be an encouragement to us. And I'm excited about what God has done in his heart as we look to our fall and to our future, and look forward to hearing all that God has given to him. It has been a wonderful week with our Vacation Bible School and our Kids Blast, and so grateful for our church family and just being involved in that. And participating and serving and being such a blessing to our children and to the families that came. Our theme was Kids Blast. And one night they had a alien costume contest. And our kids were involved. In fact, this is Joseph, my son, on the right, and Annalene, my daughter, on the left. And they really got into this alien costume contest. Now, I was not home to be involved in this, and there's one indicator that'll really tell you I wasn't home. Joseph is wearing lipstick, and I got that picture, and they showed me the costume, and I was like, son, what were you thinking? And he said, Dad, I didn't think it was right, but they said it made me look like an alien or whatever, you know. So out of the mouth of babes, men who wear lipstick are aliens. But anyway, So they got into that and had a lot of fun with that. I got a picture of Joseph and Brother Bert. Joseph was so excited to get the uniform of our children's pastor, Brother Bert, and he saved up his Baptist bucks and said his memory verses and got to get that uniform. And he said, man, Dad, now I get to be just like Brother Bert. And it indeed was a great week, and I thank God for it, and thank you for your labor of love involved in it as well. Proverbs chapter 3, in beginning of reading in verse number 5, a very, very familiar portion of Scripture to many, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Have you ever trusted in someone that proved to be untrustworthy? Have you ever told someone you would do something and then you weren't able to come through? Have you ever gotten involved in something and you were sure it was going to be a certain way and then it went an entirely different direction? That happens sometimes in life and certainly gives us disappointment. This past month, my wife and I celebrated 17 years of marriage. When we were preparing to get married, we were in Bible college, and the circumstances around our relationship, it was going to be such that we were going to pay for our own wedding. So we worked hard, we saved, and we did our best to make every penny count in that moment for that occasion and then for our honeymoon. And I was planning our honeymoon together, and I was doing some research and trying to find the best deals that I could. And I found a brochure and a advertisement for a 3-day, 2-night cruise. And they were telling all about what it would include and where you would go and where we were going to be for honeymoon. I thought, that would be perfect. I'm going to surprise her with this cruise as part of our honeymoon package. So I called the number and paid the money and got it all ready to go. We were on our honeymoon, and it came time to go on that cruise, and I told her what we were going to do, and we got to the port, and we parked, and we came up, and here's that huge vessel, and neither one of us had done anything like that before, and we kind of got checked in out front there, and then someone took us up the ramp, and leading us through the corridors of the ship, and taking us to the room that we were going to be staying in, and I was so excited to see the look on her face when she would see what we would be enjoying. Well, that person who took us through there opened that door, and she did have a distinguished look on her face, but it was not the look I was anticipating. And I was kind of looking at her, and the excitement wasn't exactly there like I thought it'd be. So then I looked into the room myself, and when I did, I understood why. We were told it was going to have this great ocean view. Well, there was a tiny little window, but it was so old and glazed over, you really couldn't even see out of it. But that wasn't the biggest problem. As you looked in the room, and it was small, but it didn't really have a bed per se. It kind of had these cots, and the cots were fastened up against the wall. And then when you wanted to, you just kind of lower them, and that's where you rested. And that wasn't going to work, but that even wasn't the biggest problem. The biggest problem, when he got into the room, past the doorway, and you look back, in the corner of the room, that's where the commode was, and the sink was, and the shower head was, but it was just in the room. And the privacy for it was a little curtain you kind of took around to segregate from the rest of the room. And I thought, that is not going to work. We're not staying here. And I got off that boat, and I went down to the check-in place, and I said, ma'am, now I paid for this. We're on our honeymoon. This is what the picture showed. This is not going to work. And thankfully, there was one junior suite left, and it cost me more money, but I'm telling you, it's worth every single penny of it. I'm still paying on it today, but we're married, so thank the Lord for that, you know? But it did not turn out like I thought it would. And sometimes you don't know whom or what to trust. But I want all of us to be encouraged this morning that we can trust in the Lord, that we can trust in Him, that we can place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, penned much of the book of Proverbs. And as we come to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we come to one of the most amazing promises in all of the Word of God. It's an incredible promise. It's an encouraging promise. And this morning, I want you and I to kind of unpack this promise. And I want us to understand it so that we can apply it and claim it in our own life as well. As we look at this amazing promise of trusting in the Lord, I want you to see, first of all, the command in the promise. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, trust is the key word. The word translated trust here means to be before the Lord, helpless. It is to be a servant at the disposal of the master. It is a defeated soldier yielding himself to the conquering general. It is to trust and to give oneself to the other. And church, I want to encourage you this morning that our God is worthy of our trust. Our God is utterly dependable. You can trust in Him. Trust in the Lord. Sometimes you don't know who you can trust. Reminds me of the lady who was on the ocean, and on the beach rather, and she was enjoying the ocean one beautiful day, and little boy in his swim trunks and had a towel over his shoulder came up, and he said, ma'am, do you believe in God? She was kind of startled by the young man and the question. She said, well, yeah, actually I do. And he said, well, do you go to church every Sunday? And she said, yes, I do. And he said, well, do you read your Bible and pray every day? She was kind of wondering, you know, where exactly is this line of questioning going? But she said, yes, I do. And before she could ask anything else, the little boy sighed a sigh of relief and said, oh, good. Would you hold my money while I go swimming? And he wanted to make sure she was going to kind of be someone he could trust with that great treasure that he was about to leave her with. And I just want to encourage you, listen, you may feel like, Brother Rule, you don't know what I'm facing, but there's not a lot of people I can trust. Can I encourage you this morning? You can trust the Lord. God is worthy of your trust. You can depend on Him. And I see this morning, first of all, that we can put our faith in the Word of God. We can trust God's Word. The Bible says, as for God, His way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in Him. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Not one word of God will fail. It is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the center of the soul and spirit. Listen, friend, you and I can trust the very word of God. And as you and I trust God's word and we spend time in God's word, we discover more about God and we are affirmed in the fact that we can trust in the Lord. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God wants His word to guide us day by day. And may you and I spend time in it and follow it, and it will help us to trust the Lord. We indeed can trust the word of God, but we can trust God's wisdom. Now, God's wisdom is so great that he will never make a mistake. The Bible says in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God has incredible wisdom. It's hard for you and I to fathom the wisdom of God. The Bible says in Psalms, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Have you ever been dealing with something you didn't really know what to do? Have you ever been asked a question you really didn't have an answer to? Have you ever been in a conversation with your spouse or your child or a family member and you didn't really know what to say? Can I encourage you this morning? You can trust the wisdom of God. God has the answers to every problem existing in this room this morning. For everything that confounds us and leaves us uncertain and not really knowing what's going to happen next, God says, listen, I've got all that figured out. You can trust me. And God has wisdom for everything in which we are facing. We can trust his wisdom, but we can trust God's ways. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You and I can trust the way of the Lord. The Lord's way is not always going to be our way. God's going to allow our life to take some detours in our eyes. It's going to go a different direction than maybe we would have thought, but we can trust in him. God is worthy of our trust. God wants us to trust his word, his wisdom, and his way. For God's character makes it impossible for him to lie. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Friend, God cannot lie. It gets wearisome in our culture and society to constantly be trying to figure out who's telling you the truth. What's really going on? What's really happening in that situation? You ever get tired of that? You ever get tired of feeling like you got to play detective? Figure out what's really going on in life? Can I encourage you this morning? You never have to do that with God. God always tells the truth. God is always a God of his word. You can trust him. He cannot lie. He's worthy of our trust. And God has a purpose for your life. Without any ulterior motive, God has your best interests at heart. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5, of Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah, I got a plan for your life. And I love the words in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God says, listen, I know what I've got planned for your life. I know my purpose for you. I know what the end looks like, and it's going to be great. You just got to trust me. You've got to know that I have your best interest in mind. We can trust him because he loves us with a limitless love. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. And God loves you with a love that's never going away. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Have you ever been told, I love you, by somebody who you don't think loves you anymore? Can I encourage you this morning? That's never going to happen with God. God loves you. And it's an everlasting, eternal love. Nothing's ever going to change the fact, friend, you are loved by God. You can trust him. I love the description of Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or pearl or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friend, nothing can separate you from the love of God. You can trust him. Trust in the Lord. God is perfect. He loves you with a limitless love. But the Lord is full of grace and truth. That love is balanced by the very holiness of God. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. But as he that called you is holy, so also be you holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And one cried at him and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. God is holy. God is perfect. God is without blemish, and you can trust him. One author said, he will never let us go. He will never let us down, and he will never let us off. You can trust him, and we must trust him. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You see, when you understand who God is, you're easily convinced he is worthy of my trust with all my heart. In fact, to trust him with anything less is an insult. It shows that there's a division in my heart. There's a double standard in my mind. I'm not understanding something correctly, because if I know the God of the Bible, I will trust him with all my heart. But the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Sometimes, even though God is worthy of that trust, he does not receive that trust from us. And our faith should be in him, there's no question, but sometimes it's not. And yet, friend, I encourage you this morning that God is patient. He's kind. He's long-suffering. And he wants to nurture a relationship with you and I. And even though we bring flawed faith to the table, he is there, and he will love us, and he will prove himself, and he wants us to place our entire faith and trust in him. God wants a total commitment from us to him. He wants to be our number one priority. The Bible says in Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. God says, your life is going to operate best when I'm in the very middle. And everything orbits around that. And he is worthy of that position. We have to trust him with all our heart. Do we trust in the Lord this morning? I like the story of the poor widow lady with five children who, every day we'd get up early, we'd go out on the front porch and spend some time with the Lord and read her Bible and pray. She'd praise the Lord, and in her time of prayer, she would always ask the Lord for provision for her and her children, that food might be provided for their nourishment and their needs. Well, her next door neighbor was an atheist. He got so sick and tired of hearing this woman get up and out there talking about God and praising God and praying and everything. So he thought he'd do something, kind of teach her a lesson. He went out to the grocery store and bought a couple of sacks of groceries and went over there early in the morning, put them on the front porch, and then he rang the doorbell and he jumped off that porch and hid in the bushes. A few minutes later, that widow came to the door and opened the door and came out and saw those groceries right there on the porch, and she just began praising God. She started weeping and singing and praising God and thanking him for what he had provided and the needs that he had supplied in her life, and just was carrying on. And finally, that atheist popped out of those bushes nearby and he said, ma'am, God hasn't supplied you with anything. I did. You see, I went out and I bought those groceries and I put them on the porch, and now you, like a fool, are praising a non-existent God and giving him credit for something he did not do. Without taking a breath or flinching or responding in any other way, that woman looked right back up to heaven and continued in her prayer, and she said, dear God, you're so wonderful. You not only provided for me and my family, but you got the devil to pay for it. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Sometimes we have to really search what's going to get us off track from just trusting in God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Be all in. He is worthy of your faith. That's the command in this promise. But notice, secondly, the condition. He says, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now here, God sends a condition to this promise. You cannot lean to your own understanding. Now, that's not saying that God wants you and I to just kind of tune out our brains, our intellect, but he's simply saying, be very careful not to depend on your own wisdom more than you depend on my wisdom. Don't go your own way. I want you to go my way. God says, trust in me and lean not to thine own understanding. Proverbs 3:7, the Bible says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Friend, you and I cannot trust our heart. We live in a culture and a society that says, follow your heart. Dream your biggest dream and follow that. Find your ambitions. Man, just think about all that it could be and go after that. God says, don't do that. You can't trust your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Why? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Listen, I can't be following my heart and expecting the blessing of God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Amen. It's not my job to do what I feel and what my heart wants and then ask God to bless that. God's word teaches me no. You find what God wants you to do and you do that and God will bless you for doing that. Amen. Lean not to your own understanding. It's not for me to interject my wisdom. It's for me to follow the wisdom of the Lord, to give deference to his word and to his wisdom and to his way. For he knows best, and we must trust him. Amen. Do we trust him this morning? And it's so hard for us to not lean to our own understanding. Because when life isn't going the way we want it to go, when there's problems, when there's difficulties, when there's unexpected turns, we want to go to our comfort zone. We want to go to what we are familiar with. We want to do what we always do. We want to fix it. And God says, don't do that. Do not lean to thine own understanding. Just trust me. Let me work. Let me lead. I know what I'm doing. Don't jerk it back. Just trust. Sometimes we can have God operating the navigating system. But every time he says turn right, we're turning left. Every time he says go forward, we're going backward. And we can say, oh yeah, God's the Lord of my life. Oh yeah, he's set my path. The problem is we're not following it. Because we're leaning back on our own understanding. At the end of the day, when it gets rough, we just go back to doing what we're comfortable doing. And God says, there's a condition in this promise. Stop that. Lean not to thine own understanding. Trust me. Let me lead in your life. A pastor was going through a real difficult time. A couple of days had passed, and he seemed to kind of be in a depression, just dealing with all kinds of problems. Wasn't really eating or sleeping. It was really consuming him. Finally, on the third day of all of this, his wife came down the stairs there in their house, and she was dressed in all black. And he looked over at her from the couch, and he said, "Who's dead?" And she said, "God." The pastor rebuked his wife, saying, "Sweetheart, what are you talking about? God's not dead. God cannot die." And she said, "Well, by the way you've been acting, I thought he had." And sometimes if we're not careful, and sometimes we don't even mean to, but we get through going through a certain season in life and we start acting like God's not even there. And the truth of the matter, he's there the whole time. And he's ready to lead and intervene and direct and help and guide, but we have to stop leaning to our own understanding. Just trust in him. God's not dead. And he desires to work in our lives. And he has the power to do that work, but we have to let him work his way. It's like the farmer who decided to buy a chainsaw. And he went and he found a logging foreman, and they started talking about what he ought to get. And that logging foreman said, "I've got a chainsaw here. It's guaranteed to cut 15 trees down in a single day." That old farmer thought that was pretty good, 15 trees in a day. So he bought that chainsaw and he took it home. But about a week later, that farmer came back to that logging foreman, and he was really unhappy, disappointed in the chainsaw that he bought. And he got to talking that logging foreman, he said, you know, honestly, it's just not working. In fact, this chainsaw's only cut down for me 3 trees a day. And that foreman just couldn't figure out what the problem was. So he said, well, let me see that. He took that chainsaw and he kind of looked it over, and then he pulled that cord. And man, when he did that, that engine erupted, just kind of started taking off and all that noise. And that farmer kind of scared him, you know, and he looked at that and he said, hey, what's that noise? And here he'd been trying to do it, hadn't even turned it on. You know, sometimes that's what you and I look like in life. We got all these problems around us and we're saying, hey, this isn't working. I mean, I go to church and I hear preaching and I own a Bible, but it's not working for me. I've got problems too big to deal with. I've got stuff I don't understand. It's not getting better for me. This isn't working. And I think God looks down from heaven and says, bud, you don't have any power. You got something that looks like it should accomplish the job, but you don't know how to use it. So don't lean to your own understanding. Let God do it. God said, hey, I'm the creator of the universe. I made you. I've got a will for your life. I love you with a limitless love. I've got a purpose you'll never fathom. Listen, I can take care of you. Just let me work. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Boy, that's tough sometimes when life leads us down a dark path. I think about Joseph in the Bible. I love Joseph, probably my favorite biblical character. Joseph was hated by his brothers, favored by his father, given the coat of many colors, had the dreams, told his family about him. His dad sent him out to the field to check on his brothers. His brothers saw him coming from afar off. And they said, man, this is our chance. Let's kill him. They throw him in a pit, and Reuben intervenes and says, guys, we can't do that. So they sell him into slavery. Joseph is sold into slavery, taken to Egypt and sold to Potiphar. Joseph serves in Potiphar's house and does incredibly well. In fact, the Bible says of Joseph that everywhere he went, he secured the presence of the Lord. Joseph did a great job for Potiphar, but Potiphar's wife took an eye for Joseph. She wanted to be immoral with him. In fact, one day she caught him and expressed her desire. Joseph got out of that room and left his coat. She falsely accused him, and Joseph was thrown into prison. A little while later, the baker and butler from the king's court were thrown into prison. Joseph interpreted their dreams, and it was promised that he would be remembered, but he wasn't. He was forgotten. It wasn't until finally that the Pharaoh had a dream that nobody could interpret. In fact, men's lives were on the line. And finally, Joseph was remembered and he was cleaned up and brought before Pharaoh. And he heard the dream and God gave him the power and he interpreted the dream. And Joseph was put in second in command of all the kingdom. And Joseph was used to save a generation from famine. No doubt, there were lonely nights in a jail cell all by himself that Joseph had to be thinking, where is God? What is happening? This is not at all what I expected life would be. But Joseph trusted in God. Joseph secured the presence of the Lord. And as an old man, Joseph looking back over his life, in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, he says, but as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Joseph said, I can honestly say that I trusted the Lord. And I, looking back now, can see God meant all of this for my good. Amen. What an amazing picture of trust. How about Job? What a classic illustration of trust in the Bible. Job literally lost everything. He at one time had been very rich, but then was made poor. He had been blessed with a lovely family, but then all of his children were taken away. He had enjoyed great health, and then, because of the chastisement of the wicked one, was given a terrible illness and boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot. His wife once stood by him in unity and now had told him, Job, just curse God and die. And once he had been highly honored and favored, and now he was viewed with suspicion because something must be wrong in his life. And his integrity, which once was unquestioned, now even his friends accused him of having secret sin. And he once walked in communion with God, but now he appealed passionately to what seemingly was a silent heaven. Oh, Job was going through a dark time. In the midst of that darkness, you read the story, he has a conversation with a friend by the name of Eliphaz. And Eliphaz is telling Job all the things that must be wrong in his life because he's suffering the way that he is. And it gets into a heated debate. And Job says in chapter 13 and verse 15, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Job said, listen, friend, it doesn't matter what God wants to do. I trust him. I may not understand all that I'm going through, but I trust him. He knew God. And God richly, richly blessed that faith. Think about Moses. We heard about last Sunday, the burning bush. And Moses goes back to lead the children of God out of slavery and captivity. We know the story of the 10 plagues, and finally Pharaoh's heart is persuaded and the people are released and they go now to worship the Lord in freedom. And they get to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea is in front of them and mountains on either side, and Pharaoh had a change of heart, and now he and his army are pursuing quickly, coming for the children of God to take them back into slavery and captivity. And the people are looking at Moses and they're saying, Moses, what are we going to do? And we can't go anywhere, and here comes the enemy. Is all of this for naught? Are we going back into slavery? And Moses in Exodus 14:13 said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Moses didn't know exactly how it was all going to go, but he knew God. And he had confidence in God enough to say to the people, don't worry about it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God's going to take care of us. What did Joseph and Job and Moses have in common? And lean not to thine own understanding. In a dark hour of life, no doubt they could have gone back to what they've always done, but they did not. They stood steadfast and said, Lord, I'm going to trust you because I know you love me and you're going to care for me and you're going to see me through. And so I'm going to trust you. And they did. And God blessed them for that. Lean not to thy own understanding. Having God in his rightful place, choosing to trust him no matter the cost. It's like the one old boy that said, I know that God will never give me anything above that I can handle. I just wish God didn't trust me so much. I don't think I can handle all that he's really giving me, but you can. And you can indeed trust him. But notice in his promise, thirdly, the completeness. He says in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In everything we do, God wants you and I to consider him and his will for our life. The word acknowledge literally means to recognize the rights or authority. God wants you and I to make sure that we've come to a place in our heart that we acknowledge that God is in authority of our life, that we have total dependence on God. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Friend, you and I cannot choose what to put under the authority of God and still have the blessing of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In every way we have to acknowledge, God, you are in authority of my life. We don't get to pick and choose. God, you can be in charge of this area and you can have this part of my life. But this over here, now that's for me. But I want you to bless me. Doesn't work that way. If we want the blessing of the Lord, then the Bible says in everything, we have to acknowledge him. God, I acknowledge you. Amen. I recognize you have authority over me and every aspect of my life. It's yours. That in everything, we would acknowledge him. Putting our faith and trust in him. Having a singular focus to his lordship. The Bible says in Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Friend, if you and I are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and if we're trusting in him, he will take care of us. You can trust him. but acknowledge him in every area of your life. A man was out hiking. He was on a particular trail and lost his footing and fell down a cliff. And before he knew it, he kind of instinctively grabbed a branch and was hanging on for dear life. That branch started to come loose, and this man was scared. He looked up in heaven. He said, "Is there anyone up there who can help me?" There seemed to be kind of this moment of silence and then this deep voice that came from the heavens. It said, "Yes, son, I can help you. Just let go of that branch and trust me." That boy looked at that branch and looked down beneath him where he was going to be going. And he said, "Is there anyone else up there that can help me?" Wasn't quite sure that he liked the instruction he got. You and I are not always going to understand what God is doing. But we have to trust him enough to say, "God, I'm giving you every area of me. And I don't necessarily understand all the time what you're doing. And sometimes the stuff you're telling me to do it, I'm not even sure how it's going to work, but I'm just going to acknowledge you. I'm giving you authority. I want to submit to you. I want to trust you." And if we'll follow that command, and if we'll fulfill that condition, and if we will be of a complete commitment, notice the compensation as we close. "And he shall direct thy paths." God wants to direct the very life in which you and I are living. And when you and I trust him and we lean not to an understanding and we acknowledge him, then God, the very creator of the universe, who spoke the world into being, who can handle any problem that you might have, the Bible says he, that God, he will direct, which means guide. He will take you. He will guide you. He will comfort you. He will help you through life. God will take care of you if you trust him. You've got to trust in the Lord. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." God will keep his promises. And you and I must keep trusting in him. But he said, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." I love the promise in James, "But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You and I this morning want to have a heart of obedience to the Lord, because our obedience to the Lord adds years to our life and life to our years. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Don't take back what you've given to God. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Does he have authority of every area of your life? And if he does, then he, the creator of the universe, will direct your path. Do you know the Lord? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would spend an eternity in heaven? You see, the ability to trust God begins when we trust him in a relationship, accepting him as our Savior, asking him to pay for our sins so that we can spend an eternity in heaven. The Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Friend, Jesus loves you. And he gave his life on the cross for you. And he wants you to spend an eternity in heaven. But the Bible is clear, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We're not going to get to heaven on our own merit, our own accomplishments, our own religion, our own goodwill. The only hope you and I have of an eternity in heaven someday with God is through Jesus Christ. Have you ever trusted him as your Savior? If you not, I invite you today to make that decision. Place your faith and trust in him. And then, believer, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, are you trusting him this morning? And I don't know what you're facing or what you're going through, but I want to encourage you this morning. Trust in him. He's worthy of it. And he promises he will see you through.